time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Yes, hello, Australia.
Oh,
welcome back. Hello,
back.
Dave.
We missed you, Mickey.
How goes?
Welcome back, mate.
There's a bit of a woof in the studio. Opened all the windows and all
might
the doors.
Be. Well, we'll put a bit of air freshener in here. We'll brighten things up a bit.
Let's get on with it.
What's
hey,
up?
We're going to open up, as is the tradition, with what happened while I was away.
Yeah.
What were the big stories? Who died? Ooh. What happened in politics?
Yeah.
Entertainment. Did a wiggle get married? I don't know. Have you got the answers? Give us a call on 133353. Special guests coming out
Mum
our
digger.
Wazoo today. Two of the funniest people I know,
yep.
By the way. The great Ben Elton.
Amazing.
Will be coming in live
here.
In the studio. He's got a show tonight for the Comedy Festival.
Awesome.
Loads of others going on in his life. Might ask him about Prince Philip.
Yeah, I think so.
I wonder what he made of
He'd
all that.
He'd have thoughts about it.
And, of course, my great friend Judith Lucy will be
Amazing.
Swinging by. She's got a book out.
She does.
And I better be in it. I better be in it. I'll go straight to the bibliography.
Is that okay?
And look myself up.
All right.
If I'm not in it,
we'll
I'll
ask.
Be ropeable.
Find out.
She'll be in. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. We've got collaborations.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of doozies coming
up. Oh, yeah,
line.
Yeah. And Nerilee Meadows with a sports rap as well.
Why not?
All right, let's get into it. Here we go.
We
Mickey's
go.
Back for a Monday.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
This makes me go. This makes me go.
Oh.
How can he be hearing this
Well, I'll tell you what has been happening while I've been away. Matt Dow's been hard at it in the studio, creating some of his finest work.
How are you, by the way? I mean, we missed you 2 weeks. Haven't had you in the studio. You have a good break, good holiday? What?
Where's this going?
it's a genuine question. Yeah. I've hardly seen you.
You wouldn't have thought so.
No.
Did you play all my best bits?
Lots of your best bits, yeah, for the
Great.
Last couple of weeks.
All right. Have you had fun? Did you miss me?
I just said that. We
All
missed
right.
you.
Settle down. Settle down.
So welcome back.
Hey, thank you very much. 123353, what's been going on since I've been gone? You would have been here, I suppose, talking through some of the big stories.
Yeah.
Let's go straight to James Blake, who manages the Deadpool here.
Yeah, big news in the Deadpool.
Obviously, the biggest story
yes.
Since we've been gone, Prince Philip,
yeah.
Parlay.
Yeah.
Where was he in the Deadpool? Who had him?
Our congratulations to Kerry, a listener in the Blue Mountains, who's just going to pick up one of her little ones at the moment. She had Philip. She
okay.
joins Rob from Wodonga, who had Captain Sir Tom Moore.
He went off early.
Yeah. We're not looking that good as a team.
Just quickly, Prince Philip would have been the shortest priced favourite.
That's why no one here goes him, because it's a little bit of a
Who did
gimme.
I have?
It's a gimme.
You had Betty White, box trifecta on the Golden Girls, all of them.
Well, most of them are gone.
Dave, you had Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, yeah,
this was peak
well,
sweat.
Was not
that was ambitious.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the sweat and the dye coming down the chin.
Did you have?
I had two. I had Joseph Ratzinger, the old Pope.
Oh,
he's
the
still
pope.
Kicking.
The Pope in the granny flack out the back. Yeah.
And I've also got Jeff, the old purple wiggle as well.
Oh, come off it. He was up performing just a few weeks back, so he's on his toes.
You wouldn't have thought so. Hey, the Ratzinger, he does. He lives in the granny flack out the back at the Vatican.
Yeah, just knocking about.
You know the story. You know the rumour, don't you?
No.
Why? Because he's the first pope to ever retire.
Yeah, right.
They reckon when
Pretty
he became pope,
it?
They show you the books.
Yeah.
Oh, and
they
he's just
you,
gone
They show you all everything that the church has been responsible for in recent times.
Yeah.
And apparently he's flipped through it, pushed his chair back and went,
no.
I can't, I cannot handle this.
Big fan of Fanta.
I pick him
as well. Yeah, Ratzinger loves the Fanta.
Does he?
Hey,
it's a trivia question.
About? Someone?
It's just there's a whole Netflix documentary or like docudrama. Yeah, and he just keeps cracking the Fantas.
Does he have a button on his desk? You know, like Trump had for his Coke.
I think he rang a bell and a nun just was on Fanta duty.
none on Fanta duty.
Jeez.
God, tell you what, it's got a steamy kind of aspect to it. Talk about abuse of power. Okay, here we go. And now I have to talk to just quickly about Prince Philip.
Yeah, of course.
Much derided. Sense of humour always didn't hit the spot. But you know what? In his defence, and I'm going to play devil's advocate. Oh, we've got a sting there somewhere. Not for today.
Right.
I always thought he would be the most interesting. If you had to choose one you had to hang out with or share a flat with.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of all the royals.
I see that.
Surely it would be Prince Philip because he was by far the most interesting. There's so many stories and so many, you know, the racist remarks. And let's remember, he spent a lot of his time in those countries as part of the representing the Commonwealth, where people were throwing spears.
Mm.
And so he may or may not have always hit the mark with his sense of humour.
Yep.
But I don't know how harmful.
I think so too. I don't think he was intentionally nasty.
Can I give you my favourite story? This is
Prince Philip.
Prince Philip's story is the one where there was near one of his neighbouring properties. There was a preschool.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, all the kids came running in, crying from outside.
Right.
And so the teachers went out to have a look, and their dead birds were dropping out of the sky. And it was Prince Philip who'd been pheasant shooting. On a neighbouring property, he shot all the birds,
oh,
and they
kids.
Were raining down on these kids.
Blood and feathers everywhere.
Just introduced to the concept of death by birds falling from the sky. I put it to you also.
Yeah.
He was the greatest handbag. Mm. I'm going to say the greatest handbag in history. And by handbag, I mean partner.
Yeah, that's right.
Partner to a strong woman. Two steps behind. He always says one of his favourite quotes was, I think it might have even been here.
Mm.
He asked someone, what did they do? He said, and the response was, I'm the deputy premier. And he said, I know how you feel.
That's funny.
And the other thing he always used to say is when he was asked, you know, where he'd ask someone where they lived, and then he would say, I live above a shop.
Funny.
That's true.
That's good.
But hey, I'm going to say, and 133353, is he the greatest handbag in history? Because I think he was a very good one. He very gracious, would always walk behind, never stole the spotlight.
No, that's right.
I'm going to say Dennis Thatcher.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Dennis Thatcher was a good handbag. Yeah. He was always almost 10 feet behind.
That's right.
Never appeared on the dais, but was always there.
And always offered an opinion to Margaret Thatcher behind doors as well, as, you know, the Prince Philip was the same. He was the great.
Did you go on your handbag?
Well, I'm just thinking like maybe Tim Matheson. I'm thinking Julia Gillard's former partner as well. Like, he was the same, wasn't in the spotlight.
133353, give us a call on either that or anything else that we may have missed while we're away.
Give us a call.
Program to it. This is Malloy.
Ben Elton, just a few minutes away. He's in the building. He'll be joining us on the show soon. And Judith Lucy joining us in the second hour too.
Listening
to Malloy.
And Ben Elton, extra shows added.
Yeah,
that's how
another one coming.
Good his live performances are.
Best.
We'll be speaking to him in a minute. In the meantime, we might ask him about Prince Philip, whether he's interested or not. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure he's got something to say about the royal family.
He might have an opinion about that funeral. But it got us thinking. Prince Philip, one of the great handbags. Yeah. I don't mean this in a derogatory
term. No, I get it.
It's just that those gentlemen who let the spotlight, quite rightly, shine.
And it was a life for him as well. Like, it was 70-plus years of doing that job.
As he called it, the deputy premier. And we're thinking, who was good at this now? Dennis Thatcher. Dennis Thatcher was one of the best. Rick's on the line. Rick, who did you want to throw in there?
Oh, it's got to be Rob Stitch.
Rob Sitch.
Well, you know, he's really a doppelganger because, you know, he's Jane Kennedy, who's one of the funniest women in the world.
Exactly. Absolutely right. And there's Rob Sitch subserviently a couple of paces behind, basking in her afterglow. Well said. Brad's on the line. Brad, best handbag?
Have to be Dangerous Dave, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Brad, I think you're right, and that deserves a case
about?
Of Brick Lane.
Well, hang on. What are you saying? Think you'd get equal billing?
I
don't think Nick would let you walk close to him, would he?
No, and that is true.
Smell would be a bit like that, wouldn't it?
You're not on the poster, are you?
Not even on the poster,
not
Brad.
On the poster.
You walk into the building, I don't even exist in this company. But that's another
story. That's the way it works.
Without a shower.
All right, enough from you. Hey, what about Ralph Steadman?
Ralph Steadman.
Oprah's partner.
Oh, yeah, there's one. Oprah's, classic handbag.
I'm doing the inverted commas mark here.
What? Partner.
I don't think that's on the table, if you know what I mean. I think they live in separate houses.
Not too many paparazzi photos with them together.
Prince Harry? Bang.
In the making. Maybe.
What happened while we were gone? Dave's on the line. Dave, can you tell me what happened while we were away?
Yeah, look, number one, Mickey, I think Dave did a fair job of, you know, putting your best bits together. But a little tournament you might have watched, the Masters, the first Japanese guy, and I don't know if Billy Brownless can pronounce his name, you know, Hideki Matsumoto. But and the caddy bowing went viral apparently as well.
Which should become a thing. Anytime you play well on a golf course, I think naturally you should just bow to the gods. I watched most of that, and it was great to see because I don't mean to racially profile him, but polite by nature and so genuinely happy. He's a superstar.
He will
go back to Japan now as their greatest living sportsman. And here's a tip. Olympics. He will be lighting the flame.
It's just
such a big event because it's amazing they haven't had a Masters winner before because they love the game. They revere the game. They've got some of the greatest golf courses in the world. In fact, it's known as a rich man's sport in Japan, and a lot of people who play golf in Japan never even get to a golf club.
Oh, no kidding.
In fact, it got to the point where young boys – used to, this is to attract girls.
Right.
This is how devious men can be. Used to sunbake with a golf glove on. So when they went out, girls would automatically think, oh, hang on. He must play golf. He's a golfer.
Yeah.
He's going all right.
Yeah. Hook up with him.
We've all done it. All part of the courting process. All fair in love and war. Could I duke him, Dave?
Oh, a case of Brick Lion coming to you, Dave.
Hey, thank you. Mate.
And 133353, let us know what we missed.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
Ben Alton, not far away. Hang about. We're going to talk about his live shows, which have gone Coco Bananas, I believe is the vernacular.
Yeah.
Which means going bonkers.
One tonight in Melbourne and another, I think, a new show.
Putting on
added.
Extra shows, yeah, as you would expect. I told him he went too low. I said... Bigger venues, more shows. He wouldn't listen. Hey, 133353, what happened while I was away? Our producer Jay's in the studio. This usually means some form
afternoon.
Of correction or just apology.
A very quick correction, Mick. You mentioned Oprah's partner, Stedman. You said Ralph Stedman.
Ralph Stedman.
So Ralph Stedman is the British cartoonist.
Of course. I know him.
Famous for his Hunter S. Thompson Gonzo.
Yeah, all right. He used to do the posters for the Royal Shakespeare. Yeah,
he's amazing. His artwork's incredible.
No, well, Stedman, I got him wrong.
Stedman Graham. Is Oprah's part.
That's how much of a handbag he is. I couldn't even. I got a Stedman bar right. Anything else?
That's it.
You may go.
We got a tweet from Sergio Paradise on Twitter at Malloy Show. Said to Keith Urban, one of the great handbags of entertainment.
Walks in the shadow
of Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
That kind of works.
Louise is on the line. Louise, who did you want to throw in there?
Welcome back, Mickey.
Thank you. Good
to have you back.
Thank you. Very
Dave
kind.
Dave did a good job.
Dave is okay. Let's not go over more.
No, he did an excellent job, Mickey.
All right. Out of the farm.
Julie Bishop's partner, David Penton?
David Panton. Which
Panton, yeah.
Always sounds like a product of finding aisle seven, if you know what I mean.
Conditioner.
Duker, Dave.
Have a case of Brick Lane coming to you, Louise. Thanks for calling from Newey as well. Appreciate that.
And I've got running into the studio as we speak, Whitney. Hello, Whitney.
Hey.
Hey, what time we're doing or what happened while I was away, and I believe you've got a few things.
Yes, so maths finished last night.
Right, what
Praise
happened?
Praise the Lord.
I feign interest here, Dave.
Really? Last show?
Yeah, I really lost interest this season.
Wow.
It took a turn. Last night was the final episode. Thank God. Goodbye, maths.
Okay, that's it. In other news.
Bridgerton is going to be coming back.
Oh, sorry, don't you mean
Bridgerton?
Play it again, Dave.
Bridgerton.
That was used by Pauline Hanson in one of her racist rants.
But
Sky News.
It's not all good news. So the first season was based on the Duke, the hot, sexy Duke, and he's not coming back.
Okay, well, that's sad. What,
it's not very sad. All the women in my life are like, how is this going to work?
Why is he not coming back?
I don't know, because it's based on a different character.
Can't they have flashbacks?
I hope they have flashbacks.
Having sex on the stairs.
It was episode 5, wasn't it?
From episode 5.
In other news, you got hypnotised.
Oh, weird.
And to give up smoking, am I right?
Yes, I wasn't a really heavy smoker, but I just, once I started drinking, it was game over, and I thought, all right, in my 30s, let's give this a go. And it's
30s,
been...
to put it mildly.
Shut up.
Come on, at the pointy end of 30,
She's not.
I'm below 34.
Are we rounding up or are we rounding down? I would have thought we're rounding.
Shut up. But anyway,
up.
6 days.
6 days?
Oh, really?
And I had 3 wines last night, which is my absolute kryptonite.
Right.
Do you reckon you could hypnotise, get them to hypnotise you into making a better scone?
You're an idiot.
Thank you.
No, they're really yum.
No,
by the
you
way.
Bought them in today and they're beautiful.
Delicious.
By the way, and what did your aunt make?
Jelly Slice. Isn't that the best?
That's from the old family.
That was Nana's.
That's
Nana
the
passed away.
You blow the dust off the cover of, and you flip the page 54 to the will.
Have you had the lemon slice too?
Do I look like a man who's ever said no to a lemon slice? 1-3-5-3, we'll keep doing this. But on the other side of this, make no mistake, one of the all-time greats, Ben Elton, joins us live.
The drive home. This is Malloy.
Joining us in studio right now, one of the legends of comedy worldwide.
Royalty.
We're
comedy
lucky to have him in Australia.
The
comedy
you're
royalty
for there, Dave.
Is what I'm looking for. It's Ben Elton, who tonight is performing at the Hamer Hall in Melbourne as part of the International Comedy Festival, then going to Canberra tomorrow, then in Bendigo on Wednesday, and in Perth coming April 26th at the Riverside Theatre. Ben Elton on Malloy.
Hello, Ben. Welcome aboard.
What a pleasure. What a pleasure. I don't actually think we are part of the officials. I think I'm a maverick.
I
think I'm a solo indie gig. Yeah, we booked the hall. We sold the tickets. We didn't need their structure.
You've never swum between the flags, have you, Ben?
Well, actually, I've got to say, when it comes to beach safety, I'm very much a I don't want to die guy.
Well, you're a Perth boy, so if you even walk into the surf over there,
you can get sucked out. Let's face it.
Now bitten, there's a number of things.
And that's not in a good way. I definitely. I observe the rules. But yes, sold out Heyman tonight. And,
so that's we're gonna, it. There's no point plugging that one, Dave. Okay, you've added another one, haven't
we
you?
We have. I'm coming back to the Forum 1st of June, I believe, after playing New Zealand. I've got to go back to Perth. Got another rib put in some more Perth gigs. So there's a Riverside gig at the Perth Riverside Theatre on the 26th of April. And then I'm off to New Zealand.
Well, you're going on the bubble.
Absolutely.
So you can go.
I'm exploiting the bubble. I was all set for the 2 weeks, actually. I had the quarry set. I had a lot of writing to do. Yeah. So I was kind of, I was hoping they're going to let me have a little treadmill or something in the room because of the exercise.
Lockdown in New Zealand is pretty much like just being out in New Zealand.
Oh, for heaven's sake, you've clearly not been there for the last 25 years. It is groovy central.
Here we go.
Oh, my goodness gracious. New Zealand is now the Melbourne of Australasia. It's all happening, the comedy, the whole thing. Well, it is actually a very cool place.
It is. I like it. I go there often. I heard reliable source told me you've been getting standing ovations around the country. True or false? Sydney, don't be shy.
It is true, but I have also, to be honest with your listeners, that the reliable source was me. I told you just before we came in. But nonetheless, it is true. There are 3,300 Sydney-siders who can attest to it. Yes, so full stander, very nice. It was particularly last night was great. It's a really exciting gig. Peter Garrett was in, had a drink afterwards. That's always a pleasure when you got your rock lawyer. Royalty, and I've known him for many years, but I haven't seen him for about 15, and we had a lovely.
Did you know he was coming, or did you just turn up?
No, I wrote, so come on, Pete, you got to come out, see my gig, and him and Doris, his lovely wife, came. But yeah, very big reactions. I think Melbourne's going to be tougher because obviously Melbourne knows it's comedy. Melbourne's all very much. We're Comedy Central of Australia.
No,
but I'm looking forward to tonight's gig.
You will. They will love you in Melbourne. I heard the news today.
Certain age. If you can't throw a Beatles quote in, what can you do on a Malloy show?
We've just been talking about Ralph Steadman off air, so that's our bona fides. Pubs are back opened in
outside in UK.
In UK,
yeah.
Can you just paint for me? I've been there a couple of times, and I do love the way the British take to their ale houses. Mm. This will be a big day in London as we speak. Yes.
Well, it's happened. I mean, I think it's a few days ago. The problem is, it's all outside, and there's been some rowdy. I don't think it's been entirely as wonderful because obviously people Melbourne knows this better than anybody else in Australasia. It's been hell.
It's been
the worst year, a cultural catastrophe and a psychological and a social catastrophe. Obviously, the health thing's big, but I think bigger is really the cultural, the ruination of people's lives and arts and society and people's businesses. And Britain has suffered even more than Melbourne, which is saying a lot.
They have.
But they've got it right.
They've got their rollout right, okay?
The vaccine's gone well. They've got everything else wrong.
Are you close to herd immunity is what I'm hearing.
Tell you what, the thing that's really annoying me is that narcissistic fool Johnson, who is a man motivated exclusively by venal self-interest. A man, to say Boris Johnson lacks a moral compass is like like saying the Flat Earth Society lacks an actual compass. but nonetheless, of course, the vaccine rollout, after a disastrous year of constant procrastination and ruination, it's been fabulous. But the reason it's been fabulous is because of our National Health Service, which is something he has actually paid very little mind to. But the National Health Service is such an extraordinary database, such a fabulous, wonderful organisation, that they are able to deliver, you know, without the kind of mix-up, sadly, we've been seeing, you know, oh, is it the chemist you're supposed to go to? I mean, here in Australia, is it my GP? Is it my chemist? Is Mr Morrison going to come round personally and give me a hug and a, you know,
he's taken a
bit of empathy training and,
every time I turn on the telly, he's getting another injection. Oh, I go, Jesus, how about one for my 84-year-old mother?
Exactly. Well, we've always thought he felt a bit of a prick. But anyway, no, that's such an old game. Anyway, we won't bother with
that. Greg Hunt, who I'm convinced is an anti-vaxxer. He's got it. Hey, can you hang around, please?
I will hang around. Particularly, we're on to anti-vaxxers. I need to give them a piece of my mind.
We'll have a jab during the break. We'll be back with more Ben Elton in just a moment.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
Ben Elton is in studio, by the way. Ben will be performing at the Riverside Theatre in Perth on April 26th, where you can get some tickets through livenation.com.au. And we mentioned this before, but another show added for Melbourne, and that'll be in June, the 1st of June, at the Forum as well. So, incredible.
Ben at Elton. The Forum.
Yeah, looking forward to that. That's a proper old gig, you know. Yeah.
We were just mentioning the Forum off air. I told you, have a look at the statues.
Apparently, they're all dicklers, apparently.
They're all dicklers. Someone, there used to be like a Christian group, took it over for a while and knocked all the dicks off all the statues.
Extraordinary. Goodness
makes
gracious.
Me think so carefully.
Personally, I think they probably enjoyed it. I'm a little worried about the motivations behind all that. Anyway, what is it? Is it ruder to have a naked eunuch? Is that ruder, less rude? I don't know.
And by the way, where are the dicks?
Exactly. Marvel dicks.
That's what I'd like to get
the bottom. Top drawer.
A beautiful theatre, and you're playing Canberra tomorrow night. Drop my name. I'm one of Canberra's favourite sons. If not Canberra's favourite son.
I think that one sold. Although I think it might be Bendigo. I can't wait. Bendigo. Bendigo. That's a Wednesday.
You will be playing.
Yeah, it'd be good to see some people
in a beautiful old theatre. There's a wonderful theatre there.
It's such a cool town, such a beautiful film location.
I was scanning the Prince Philip's funeral. I thought for sure you would have been invited to.
Amongst the 30. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't believe I didn't make the cut.
So I thought, did you watch it? Did you care? Where do you stand on all this?
I'm very sorry. I mean, I quite clearly, you know, Her Majesty's a very decent, very, very, very elderly lady, and she's certainly had a lot on her mind of late, and I'm very sorry that, she's lost her husband. But I don't have any great views on it. You know, monarchy is a... I mean, personally, I probably would say I would stick with a monarchy in the UK for sure, because the ain't broke, don't fix it. It's a constitutional thing. I used to do a whole routine on this. I'd say, you know, if you were at a disco with all the various heads of state in the world, who would you trust with your handbag? You know, would it be Putin? Would it be Trump when he was in power? Would it be that Macron bloke? You know, no, Her Majesty. Yeah. She'd be under a pile of coats, wouldn't she?
I'd like to see you dancing around a handbag.
Exactly. But for Australia, it's a different story. I mean, it does feel strange having a foreign head of state, but hey, I'm not getting involved.
What I find interesting is he's been planning his own funeral for 18 years. Mm. Is that to strike you like a guy who's ready to go?
Well, I think so.
Thinking a lot about it.
The idea he was planning it. I mean, I've never met the bloke. I've no idea. Apparently, he was a bit crotchety, but you know, sort of a bit of dry wit in a very old dad jokey sort of way. You know, I clearly wish him and them well. I don't like to see any people in torment, and that family is clearly going through an awful lot of angst. Yeah. And I don't think it's a very, very, you know, I think it's sad. Yeah, absolutely. But no, I don't have any great reason. I certainly didn't watch it. I mean, for goodness sake. I mean, I'm the highlights, highlights of a funeral. I don't know if that's appropriate.
Is it disrespectful to fast forward through the Psalms?
Well, it's like people do that with Netflix drama now. Somebody literally bleeds their heart into a drama and put it on treble speed and listen to Smurf.
You couldn't go back anyway, you said, because you've had your
lucky.
Chance. Let's talk about the vaccine. You've had your...
I cannot encourage people enough to have their vaccine. The reason we're not all dead of mumps and you know, all the childhood illnesses is because of vaccines. The reason we're old enough and alive enough to have a COVID vaccine is because all the childhood vaccines that have saved humanity, many. So I cannot encourage people enough to ignore this ignorance and go out and have your vaccine. I've had the AZ because I'm auto-suppressed because I have very severe psoriasis, and I'm on a splendid treatment which gives me great, great relief. But it is...
Where are you on the pecking order? So first responders...
I was 1B, mate. 1B. I've never been 1B. I never got picked for the soccer team in the school. I was always like, you know, done all right. I was a B and a C. I got B and two C's at A level. But on the COVID scope, I'm 1B.
Well done.
I'm right up there. I'm just behind the cops and the nurses and the frontline lot. Well, so I've had 1AZ.
You're a natural treasure, so you should be on that.
I am a treasure, and I like to think so. And I've had my AZ, my first jab. Very proud and happy to have it in Western Australia, and I ain't scared of no clots. Because frankly, let's face it, you're more likely to win the lottery, and since I don't do that, I think that means I'm actually statistically completely clear.
This is it. I love it. I can't let you go without asking you, you're going to hate me for this, but I don't care. We talk about the Friends reunion shows and all these others and landmark shows. Is there ever any chance that you could ever... With the Blackadder.
Blackadder. We can't be the young ones because dear Rick's going on the road. Rick and I toured Australia in 1986. That's how I became an Australian. Our support act was the Jam Tarts.
I know how much you love Rick.
I married the bass player, and Rick, and he was standing beside me when I met my wife in 1986 here in Melbourne.
Wow.
I miss him so much. Of course, the young ones could never come back. No, Adder, not Ida. I mean, look, we're all mates, and I think we want to keep it that way. And Rowan, he doesn't like to be rushed. You know? He's perhaps might you do? I don't know. He's very he's relaxed in his own skin. No, I don't see any reason to mess with something which is remembered so fondly.
We're all fortunate
to be in work, and I think we'll leave well alone. That ended in 1989, and we're very happy.
Reading directly from a press release there, Ben. I remember the first time I ever saw an episode of The Young Ones, and it was a game changer for me and got me interested in this business. Thank you so much for coming in. Those shows again, please. We love having you on, Ben. Will you come back soon?
I will. There's going to be more. I mean, there's the Melbourne and the Perth, but I think we're going to put some more in. It's going terribly well.
Awesome.
I'm back shouting and swearing for a living, and I could not be happier.
And people are rising from their seats and applauding and loving it, and so they should.
Yep, livenation.com.au. Canberra tomorrow, Bendigo Wednesday, and Perth April 26. Ben Elton, that's Malloy, Triple M.
Via GoGo at all costs, they are scalpers.
This is Malloy.
Mick is back. He's back from holidays, and he's here on Malloy all around Australia on Triple M and through the Listener app. Just had Ben Elton in studio. LiveNation.com.au. That's where you buy tickets for a Ben show.
I will be going to that later show he's
June 1.
Added. And
we should do like a team night. We could.
That'd be amazing. Did you just invite yourself along?
No, just...
Yeah. What just happened?
Okay.
Well, I said I was going to go.
Yeah, but then
and
I
you've played it
go.
Into some kind of
Ben kind of as you walked out the door. Said,
that's some kind of media circus.
What do I ever get? Nothing.
Jay Mueller is in the studio because the Song Whisperer is not far away. Right. What happened while we were gone? Anything in your life?
We have been keeping tabs of my niece Olivia and her fish.
Oh, geez.
This started earlier in the year.
We've had a fish Deadpool going on at your...
Not another one.
Moonlight was the first fish. Gone. Moonlight 2 replaced Moonlight 1.
Gone.
Then we had Spots and Buttercup.
Yeah.
Spots.
So they're different fish.
They were two different fish. Spots went, gone. And over the break, Buttercup.
Not Buttercup.
Valet Buttercup.
Not Buttercup.
It's my favorite.
Buttercup.
How's it going at the house? And this is all at the hands, the mercenary hands of a serial killer in the making. Because this is how they all start out.
Is that
you
right?
You start out with smaller animals,
work
your way up. Next thing you know, in the pit.
Olivia is a very smart, very talented young woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, just not great with pets. Criterion too, by the way. And was it her fault? Have you had an autopsy?
No,
have you done an inquest?
We were going to do the autopsy with Dr. Chris.
Yeah, that's right.
But as he said, fish are tough. Fish are tough.
He said fish are tough and not an ideal first pet to look after. Get a rabbit.
They're not hanging around for very long.
Get a raccoon.
I'm just going to say no more pets.
No more pets. What fish are currently there?
Yeah.
So now it's just, I believe it's lemon, lime, and... lemon, lime, and orange, I think.
Is that the one
three
fish?
Small ones. No, there's three different little ones.
I don't like their chances.
Nah.
Now they'll be the focus of attention.
Yeah.
Lime's cooked.
Tempura written all over it.
Seriously. Are they all in the same tank? Or?
They are. They're all in the same tank.
Has anyone ever been around when...
Yeah.
Have you thought about CCTV footage? Yeah.
Maybe.
Is there an egg beater
We might
involved?
Have to dig a little bit deeper.
Right.
And with Buttercup, is it half flush or full?
Full.
It was like Prince Philip's funeral.
So Olivia lost a fish, and Camille, 7-year-old niece, lost a tooth. And when I say lost, I mean my mother-in-law yanked it out of her head.
I was going to say, they didn't find that tooth in the fish, did they? Hey, play it.
All right, here it comes.
It's been a while. Whisperer. You know what you're doing?
No.
You were getting the runaround from the listeners, if I remember correctly, before we left. And they were all over you like a rash.
Mm. And I tell you, I'm not sure how I feel about this one. It could be really obvious or may not fell off. An amateur actor, a solo card game aficionado, a budding agent. He's all of these and none of these things. He's looking for a director. He's looking for a mark to hit, for lines to deliver, and an audience to captivate.
God. So he's playing at the comedy festival?
He's ready for his close-up. Ooh, it's
ready for his close-up. Mm. What about me? Why are you laughing?
It's your default one to go to, isn't it?
We're starting slow. We're easing into it.
You said something about card game? Was it a card game?
A solo card game.
This is all I could think of.
You got to know.
Kenny Rogers.
Could be Kenny.
It could be, but it's
well done, Captain Obvious.
All right, that's not it. Is that right? Not it?
No, it's not Kenny. It's not Kenny.
All right, we're back in action.
We've got a great prize to give away. Neverland Stores here. They've got a $200 voucher for us, so you go shopping at neverlandstore.com.au to get it right.
Neverland Stores.
Oh, they have some great streetwear. James is wearing some right now. Oh, I wonder where you got those pants from. T-shirts, jeans, all cool stuff.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not a good ad for Netherlands. He is not a male model.
No, he's not.
For this type of active work.
Nerd pull that off.
Hey, yep. It did bring us some news today, though, that Pope Ratzinger drinks Fanta.
Fanta.
I did not know that. It's amazing what sticks in your mind, but that's what I'll be thinking about all night. Did him kicking back, free-balling, on the couch, in the granny flat at the Vatican, the Fanta. Knocking the top off a couple of Fantas.
Why do I have a memory that John Howard liked Fanta as well?
That's the worst of the soft drinks, by the way.
Do you know what?
Solo.
Soft spot. I got a soft spot for
Fanta.
I'd go Fanta over Solo any day.
Fanta to me is in the sun-kissed passione kind of. Not all the time.
Orange Crush.
A sometime treat. A what?
Orange Crush. That was the American orange drink.
R.E.M. song.
Phenomenal. Also an R.E.M. song.
Is it Orange Crush?
It is not. Right.
This is Malloy. To gather back around your wireless people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
It's going to be a beauty. My great friend Judith Lucy will be popping in. She's got a book.
Yeah.
I better be in it. if it's biographical, autobiographical, I want to be mentioned.
Well, you kissed her once. It was painful for her too, wasn't it?
It was.
Poor Judith. Sure.
That was on the... Instead on Cracker Jack. On screen.
He's never quite recovered after that.
It was one of them. We were like Bogey and Bacall. Australia's Bogey and Bacall.
Is that what it was?
Make no mistake.
Poor Jude.
Jude will be swinging by. We'll have a weekend sports update with Neroli Meadows live from Mumbai where she's doing the IPL. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. Let's start with the song Whisperer. Has grown the cat amongst the proverbial pigeons. Today, give us the synopsis, please, again, Jay Mondo.
An amateur actor, a solo card game aficionado, a budding agent. He's all of these things and yet none of these things. He's actually looking for a director, somebody who will tell him what to do. He's looking for a mark to hit, for lines to deliver, and an audience to captivate.
He sounds lost.
Yeah.
He sounds aimless. He's like a rudderless ship.
Questions. Well, just needs to
Does
know.
He want someone to advise him on his direction in life?
Mick, Mick, you're on the right track.
Yeah, what?
I'm cool now.
You're on the verge of blowing this.
Let's get the calls first.
Okay, Elise is calling from the great city of Wodonga, up there on the river. Elise, what's your guess?
Hey, Mick, it's a Private Eyes, Hall and Oates.
Oh. The Yacht Rock.
Were you a Hall and Oates fan, Elise?
Mildly.
If you had to choose between Hall and or Oates, which way would you go?
No idea.
You go Daryl Hall. Oh.
Who's Oates was in the engine room.
John Oates.
At Hall and Oates. What was the name for fans? Is it Hall and Oates or something?
What?
No, there's a name.
I was a little bit young for them, but my sister was a fan.
You're not thinking of Barry Manilow with the Fanilows, eh?
Not the Fanilows. Oh, okay. No, there was
we'll
a,
find
a,
out.
The Hall & Oates fans had a specific name. Get to the bottom of it.
Oates, all right, we'll find out.
I mean, losers.
Oh,
jeez. Actually, I'm guessing it wasn't Private Eyes. No, it's hey, not. Duca though, Dave.
A case of Brick Lane coming to you, Elise, and thanks for calling from Wodonga
and
as well.
And it's the draft, and it's a beauty.
Available at Dan Murphy's.
Dan Murphy's. Get down there. Jason's on the line. Jason, what are you thinking?
G'day, Mick. Welcome back, big fella. I'm going with Guns N' Roses, Patience.
Oh.
All we need is just
a little patience. Crikey.
This is a very popular guess, it's because the game of solitaire is referred to as Patience, right? So people play Patience, isn't that correct? Unfortunately, this is a guy who in the song is playing solitaire, but it's not the game solitaire.
Don't turn on our listeners.
I'm just letting him, because a lot of people have thought
this to guess. You've given them a red herring.
I've led them astray.
Yeah. You've led them a merry dance.
Yes.
Well, deliberately.
Yes.
And now you're chastising them.
Yes. I don't want anybody to win. I want the Neverland voucher for myself.
Losers. A case of Brick Lane for you, Jason, as well.
Jeez, you've come back with a doozy.
Angry sort of attitude.
Sure it wasn't Hall & Oates. I would wish it was Hall & Oates.
Pretty sure it wasn't Hall & Oates.
Paul, what's your guess, mate?
The Joker, Steve Miliband, mate.
Oh, you're better. Jay again.
Great song. Great song.
It's a card.
He's some of all of these things, but he's none of these things. But it's not Steve Miller. I prefer Homer's version anyway.
Bad luck, Duke him. Sounds like he needs a slab.
Yeah, Brick Lane coming your way, Paul. Thanks,
good on
mate.
You, Paul.
Appreciate that.
Mick, come on, Mick.
Hey, Mick.
He's getting cocky over there. Knock him off his perch. What are you thinking?
G'day, mate.
Hey, Mick. What's your guess?
You don't sound like a winner.
Welcome back, Mick.
Thanks, mate.
I'm going with Solitary Man.
Neil Diamond. You know.
What a great song.
This used to be my karaoke song.
Did it really?
Good luck. Oh, yeah. Good luck. This was for the tree people.
You would have seen Neil Diamond in over the years.
I haven't. Oh, yeah, I did. But I saw him when he brought out his album, Soundscapes.
Oh, right.
Wow. I told you the story. Jane Kennedy was at the same gig.
Right.
And, like, he was doing all his hits.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, now it's time for a few songs off my new album.
Oh.
And everyone left. Everyone left to the tennis center and went to the bar areas and started drinking. And then someone popped their head out and goes, he's doing the old stuff again. And everyone went back in.
I saw him in Phoenix, and it was just all hits from Neil Diamond, it's not Neil Diamond today.
No.
I might do that album, Hot August Night album cover. I think that'll be a good poster of me.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, good idea.
Not you, Dave, just me.
Maybe the back cover or something, or a credit on the album.
What about a Hall & Oates album cover with the two of you?
Oh, yeah. What about this song? Bit of Hall & Oates. I don't mind with that.
I don't mind Hall & Oates either.
All right.
No one has gotten it.
That's it for the day.
What?
Hey, day one goes to the Song Whisperer.
That's right.
We'll put that on our...
Do we play the song?
We play the song.
No, are we going to play it? Are you giving it away?
Yeah. Well, it's up to you.
The stage is set. My Midsummer Night's Dream. What's my scene? Hoodoo Gurus.
Wow. I don't think the clues were very good.
Oh, well, here you go. I've been playing solitaire. Where's that line? Playing solitaire doesn't get me where you would.
Yeah. All right.
You need somebody to direct him.
A little flattener after that whole segment.
I can't believe we're going ahead with that. I thought we would have kept it overnight. And
we'll give
come
away.
Come back and play it again.
We'll double up the prizes tomorrow. We'll make it a bumper Tuesday.
Who gets the...
No one.
Nobody.
Dangerous Dave does.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
You seem to have these just too on my, quickly, too early. What have I talked about bringing your own records
In front of our guests, it's a bit awkward. I'm terribly sorry. But Judith Lucy joins us in studio right now. Author, it turns out I'm fine. Out in stores today.
I better be in this.
It's all about you. Don't you know that? The book is simply in two sections.
Right.
It's before Mick and after Mick.
Well, wow.
That's it. So, crikey. You know, you'd better get reading.
Is there anything I should flip straight to?
Probably. But what is, it's entirely appropriate, because look, I'm not going to muck around. I've been on the flog all day. I've been talking about myself, talking about the book.
Yes.
But you keep coming up. This is the crazy thing. I did an in-conversation with Kaz Cook on the weekend. You know, you do your old Q&A with the audience at the end. Look, it's a 1,000-seater. I reckon there were two heterosexual men in the audience, and one of them was my manager. But the other heterosexual man, during the question period, stood up and said, "Oh, Jude, crackerjack. Can you give me some behind-the-scenes gossip on Cracker Jack? And you know what I told him?
What?
I told him about the body.
Oh, the body.
Yes.
Well, you would be referring to the dead body in Corowa.
I would.
Can you explain the story?
Okay,
this is one of the great ones.
And by the way, he was pretty rapt with this answer too, I've got to say. So for a week of the filming of Cracker Jack, and I'm certainly going to say it was my favourite week of filming. So we all went away to Corowa. Let's face it, it was like a school camp for alcoholics. and we loved
that's
it.
That's right. That's right.
But then just after we left her on the very last day of filming, was a body discovered in the river?
I think it was a couple of days before because your body was discovered and then we all had to be interviewed.
Yes, that's right. And that was the other hilarious thing because at the time I was with the wonderful Gareth Skinner who did the soundtrack.
Yes, of course.
And so it drove him crazy because every day after filming I'd come home with stories of Bill Hunter and Lois Ramsey and, Mick and I got drunk with Bill again. And, you know, the stories were great. And then I came home one day and he's looking a bit shady and I'm going, oh, what's the problem? And he's like, every day you've come home and bored me with details of the filming about this bloody movie that sure I'm doing the music but I'm not part of any of the fun. What you haven't mentioned is why a cop has left a message on our answering machine saying, it's Senior Detective Constable blah blah wanting to talk to Judith Lucy about a body. So he was a bit miffed.
So my other favourite story of that is when it came time and I was interviewed by the detective.
Right.
And he said, and can you tell me your whereabouts at the time? And I said, I was drinking with Bill Hunter. He said, that's what everybody says. That's what everybody keeps saying.
And everybody would have been telling the truth.
And that's right.
And that's the great thing. And then today I was interviewed by The Big Issue.
Oh, yes.
And before the lovely woman, Mandy, got into the interview, she said, and I just need to tell you my favourite film is Cracker Jack.
Wow. Yes.
And my spirit animal is your character, Nancy. Because she said, because I just saw that woman. She was a hard-drinking journalist who took no nonsense, and that's me. So it's all the universe has been throwing me towards you for the last couple of days, Mick Malloy.
Nancy was very well cast, is what I would say
to you. Well, I did say to that woman, it really stretched me as an actor, that part. It was such a struggle to play a woman who liked to drink.
Yeah.
It was, and obviously who was very attracted to you.
Our on-screen kiss, which was still they talk about in terms of Bogey and Bacall.
It was electric. It was electric. The chemistry was absolutely incredible. It's palpable now. I'm getting something right here.
Wow. All I remember.
Look out, I'm pregnant. And that's not easy because I'm menopausal.
It's all in the new book. We'll get to that in just a moment. All I remember is six staff members running in and pretty much capsicum spraying me after the event. So, Judith Looney, turns out I'm fine. We're going to get to this after the break.
Great.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
How great's this? Judith Lucy's in studio. New book out today. It turns out I'm fine.
Normally you release a book close to Mother's Day or Father's Day or a stocking stuffer or something.
Bingo! Mother's Day around the corner.
It's coming up.
That's how connected I am. I didn't even get it. Well,
Which is amazing considering you're a father. That's... really?
Oh, that's right, I am.
That's impressive.
Kids in the car out the front. We better hurry this up.
Hey, you know what we call that in the 70s? Damn good parenting. I watched... Have you ever seen a terrible film called Peterson with Jack Thompson that's actually written by David Williamson? It's Jack Thompson's first film.
Really?
No real plot. A lot of a young Jackie Weaver's bush, though. But... I tell you what, there's a lot of, as you can imagine, everyone, there's just so much drinking and smoking and people just going, get stuffed. There's a lot of that. And then there's a great scene where they go to a party, Jack Thompson and Jackie Weaver, and where are the kids? Well, they're at the party in the car parked out the front of the house.
Gold.
That
is the way we like it. Now, I've been flipping through the book and it feels a bit ripe. Chapter 9, I can't give you the title. What were you thinking with this? Because, by the way, you have a great track record in this department. You've written some brilliant books over the
years. Thanks, Mick Malloy.
Autobiographical. That's the price you pay for living such a rich and colourful life, full of highs Occasional one. What do we got here? What have we got on our hands here?
Well, you've got a journey, Mick Malloy. The journey starts off with me about to turn 50. I find out that the man I thought I was going to grow old with had been stealing money out of one of my bank accounts for over 2 years, and I do mean quite a lot of money. That sort of morphed into a complete existential crisis.
Okay.
So the book is, the first third is called How Did I Get Here? Although I might put that in a slightly bluer way. The second part of the book is having the rug pulled out from under me, which is where I go into the whole breakup story and then my midlife crisis, you know, menopause, everything, you name it, it's there. And then the last bit is called Trying, and that's where I talk about all the stuff I've tried to turn out to be fine. And notice how low a bar I've set. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I've said, hey, look, everyone, I'm amazing, I'm wonderful, I'm just fine. I'm not even happy. I'm just fine, you know? So get on board. This, I talk about everything from snorkeling at Ningaloo Reef with Tim Winton to having a vulva portrait done. So when
was
I say
Tim
this,
there?
Yes, he did the portrait.
Wow.
He did the portrait with the whale shark.
So you're covering a fair bit of ground here.
Oh, really? There's death, there's adoption, there's climate change. I went on a date with a tree. There's a lot going on.
Okay, deceduous? What type of tree?
Now you're getting pretty personal.
Was it an oak? Was it a native Australian?
It's my
just
relationship.
Tell me what it was.
It's mine. It's too late, Mick. You had your chance.
Was it a hedge?
And now I found love with a gum.
Was it a shrub?
All right.
Which is the title of chapter 4.
It is, actually.
Once again, you're such a wonderful and complete woman. It's choice in men. Fair to say, not a strong suit over the years in this instance. Mm,
I think so. But look, every cloud, Mick, because you did ask me off air, you said, is the book going to become a show? And I said, no, it's not, because it's in many respects, it's already been a show. And this is what's great. Look, I might have had a horrendous breakup, but I got a show, a podcast series, and a book out of it. So ka-ching, ka-ching.
Be very careful if you're dating Judith Lucy out there, everybody.
Oh, because I really need that at this stage.
Where are you at now? Where are you? Can I ask? Am I prying or is it part of the next book? But personally?
No, I'm done. I am absolutely done. I've gotten my hands on a wonderful sex toy. And my advice to women out there who are wondering what to do is give up and get your hands on something you can recharge. Okay, that's the secret.
We will all be redundant if Truth Lucy gets away. You look fantastic on the cover, by the way.
Well, that took
what a strong, proud
not only
woman.
A lot of makeup, but several days of surgery. But thank you.
And men will enjoy this book as
much. Of course, they will.
Women.
God damn it, it's funny.
It's funny. Yeah. Do you do a talking book version?
I do.
Wow.
I've done it.
That's what I might get my hands on.
Oh, I tell you what, throw your porn away. That'll be what you use to get to sleep at night.
Wow.
Hey, what about our old mate Bill Hunter? We mentioned him earlier. Do you miss him? Do you sometimes just think of that guy?
Yeah, I do, actually. In fact, I was in a car driving past the Rising Sun Hotel. Oh. Whenever I am in Richmond, anywhere near a pub, I think of Bill.
Do you know, I always think of his agent who used to ring me when he was looking for him. And I would always give him the number of one of two pubs and say, call, because Bill didn't carry his phone. I'd say, call them here.
Did Bill actually know what a phone was?
He had one in his pocket for some reason, and I could never work out what it was for. Either placing bets or making calls or calling cabs, because
it
didn't matter
if
it was 30 metres or 8 miles. Bill would catch a cab. He loved you dearly. We should all get together on Bill Hunter's birthday or
absolutely
death day or something and all have a jar.
Wherever you are, Bill,
for
cheers.
For the great man. And are you enjoying getting out there and talking about this book? You said you've been doing it all day. You've just come straight from Joy FM.
I'm not sick to death of myself at all. I'm fascinating. That's what's so great. I'm just so riveting that I never get sick of myself.
You don't. You love talking to your friends. Just first thing you said to me when she came in, saw my hair and goes, do you lose a bet or all lobotomy? Straight off the bat, how rude.
Begs the question, doesn't it?
Judith Lucy.
It's not your best look. Either that or you should have sort of a monk's outfit on. You've got a bit of a friar tuck thing.
Hello, girls.
Yeah.
Dinner's on. Hey, Judith Lucy, turns out I'm fine. Available in all good bookstores right now. Good on you, Jude.
God
thanks
bless
for swinging
you, Mick
by.
Malloy.
Judith Lucy joining us there. It turns out I'm fine out today. This is Malloy on Triple M.
Drive home. This is.
is Malloy.
U2's Elevation. Missed any today's show? Mix back. We've said Judith Lucy. We had Ben Elton earlier. Grab the podcast from the Listener app so you don't miss a minute of Malloy.
Narrowly Meadows coming up Weekend Sports Update.
Yeah.
You get excited when you hear of a musical collaboration, especially involving people you like a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's high hopes and high expectations.
You bet.
So when I come in today and you say, guess what? Mm. There's been a collaboration between Mick Jagger and
Dave Grohl.
I go, wow, that must be good. And you say,
nah, no good.
No good.
Nah.
What's wrong with it?
Have you heard the lyrics to Easy Sleazy?
Easy Sleazy, so here's Japanese.
The thing. So, like, you know, Mick Jagger wrote the song, but you've been in lockdown in the UK in particular for so long.
Well, we always said when we come out of lockdown, everyone will have a lot of good stuff, right?
But, mate, is this the best you could come up with?
Can you play a bit for our national audience, please?
Easy Sleazy. And I love Mick Jagger.
I love
both
the Stones. These
guys. And Dave Grohl is a god, but... come on.
Look, you know, it's not going to win any awards, but is it that?
It's pretty boring. It really is. The lyrics are lazy. And
Jay, you like to have an opinion on music. Where does this stand in great collaborations?
It is not as good as Dave Grohl and Greg Kirsten, who did the Hanukkah sessions last year. But better than Mick Jagger and David Bowie dancing in the streets.
Jagger's got form in this department.
Oh, yeah,
this is one of the worst collaborations ever.
Cover song too.
And it seemed like a show-off competition dance-wise.
Absolutely.
Where every time you just up the tempo a bit.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger's done some bad collaborations over the years. I thought this would have been different. Have you got a favourite collaboration or one that you don't like? Ones that have gone wrong?
Well, for me, I mean, for one thing, Paul McCartney, who I consider a god. Like, the Beatles are my favourite band of all time and all that music. But then he did his sort of solo stuff, and With Wings was great. He had a song called Meat Free Monday a couple of years ago, which was terrible.
Did he release that?
He did. I'll see if I can find some of that.
Meat Free Monday,
because he's a vegan. But he did a thing with Michael Jackson back in the 80s.
Oh,
do you remember The Girl Is Mine?
The girl, she's mine.
Oh, I don't think this really hits it.
The dog gone girl is mine is possibly the worst line ever written.
Yeah.
That's trying to be family friendly.
It's not even country and western. Yeah. The dog gone girl is mine. Yeah. Maybe
coming from a pasty white UK guy, it just doesn't work. Does it?
Yeah, who else?
Well, we can give you a couple of other ones. We've got Joe Cocker.
I've got one for you. What about Huey Lewis and Gwyneth Paltrow?
Oh, yeah.
Remember they did that song?
Is it from a movie?
Yeah, it was. A Cruisin', was it?
I think it's the name of the song.
Oof. Wow.
Stick with the candles, Gwyneth.
There's no islands in the stream.
Oh,
one of my
islands
favorite
in the stream.
Collaborations.
Islands in the stream. That is what we are. No one in between.
Singing about Paul McCartney. He's got form.
Was it Ebony and Ivory?
Yeah, Ebony and Ivory.
Ebony
and
Ivory.
Stevie Wonder.
Sure.
I don't know if that did a lot for race relations.
Trying to solve the world's racial problems with a song
James
about piano keys.
James has come
keys.
Up with one. James, our producer, he said, what about Ozzy Osbourne with Miss Piggy?
We can climb so high, I never want to die.
Yes! Oh, awesome, yes!
I still prefer that to Gwyneth Paltrow and Huey Lewis. I'll tell you what to do. If you've got something, let us know, 133353, and after Narrowly, we might get back to you.
Yeah, you bet.
Have we mined the bottom? Just play us a bit more, Dave Grohl.
Easy Sleazy.
Easy Sleazy.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a song that's going to get a lot of requests somehow. You know?
All right, we'll get the idea.
Oh, by the way, Duets was the movie with Gwyneth and Huey Lewis. So thanks to Tom from Endeavour Hills.
Good idea.
It's Malloy.
For the drive home, this is Malloy. Narrowly Meadows Sports Wrap.
And the satellite is in place. Mm. It's an international sports wrap today because Narrowly Meadows is from the great city of Mumbai. by the COVID capital of the world as we speak, and she's not wearing a mask. I can see her.
Yeah.
I hope you are very, very safe, young lady. How are you, Nez?
G'day, guys. How are we? In Mumbai at the moment, covering the Indian Premier League. And look, let's be honest, it's a little scary because they're doing 260,000 cases a day at the moment in India. But I got to admit, it was a bit of a perspective shift when I came into the meeting, and my family were concerned, obviously, about me being in India, but everyone else who's in the bubble, their families were relieved that they were coming into the safest spot in India, which is our bio bubble.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a perspective shift. And look, I'm having such a great time working on the IPL, so I'm still glad I came. But yeah, I'm really hoping the bubble stays tight, that's for sure.
One of my favourite cities in the world. The first time I got off at the airport there, it was like a punch in the face. There's a sensory overload.
Oh, yeah?
Noise, sound, smells, unbelievable. Of course, I was there to sit on the jury of the Indian Film Festival.
No way.
But that's another story, and I don't want it to eat into ours. But, yes, there's only about 10 of us, all internationals. I don't know if you know this, Dave, but movies are big over there. Hey, Nez, all right, let's start with the IPL, shall we? What's the big news? What are the Aussies up to?
Yeah, well, from an Aussie perspective, Glenn Maxwell is absolutely smashing it. He's on $2.5 million. He's on Virat Kohli's team, which is RCB, which is also coached by Simon Kadich. He basically didn't score a half century since 2016 here at the IPL. He's done back-to-back for RCB. So he's absolutely killing it, which is awesome to see. So Glenn Maxwell, a big story from the Aussie perspective in the IPO at the moment.
Keep us informed. Overnight, big news coming out of the Grand Prix. Talk us through, Verstappen wins. What does this mean for the competition? Are they finally making inroads against the Mercedes?
Absolutely. So obviously it was billed this year as Max Verstappen up against Lewis Hamilton, hoping that Lewis Hamilton, you know, didn't go again and again and again and again. And he's won in really tricky conditions at the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix. And, yeah, proving Red Bull's 2021 title credentials, really. It was his first win of the year, the second event, obviously. But from an Aussie perspective, Daniel Ricciardo finished sixth. His McLaren teammate, who is supposed to really be his junior, Lando Norris, once again finished ahead of him, took third. I think we've got some audio of when Dan Ricciardo is told, basically, hold back, let him overtake.
Daniel, we want to swap positions. We need to see Lando's pace in clear air. We need to see Lando's pace in clear air. Swap positions, exit turn seven, please.
Understood. Understood. I'm going to put it to you that this is the only sport in the world that allows race fixing. Well, it's true. If you were told, hang on, there's two runners in the 100-metre sprint for the USA, and you go, you know what, if you're coming second, we want him to win, you need to ease back. It would never happen. You cannot name me another sport where a horse race, where you can go, especially anything you're allowed to bet on, by the way,
course. Yeah, yeah.
Where you can say, no, during the course of the race, we're going to ring up and we're going to fix the result. As it is in progress.
Don't win it.
What about this as a theory? In cricket, if you have an in batsman or a better batsman on strike and they choose not to take the single at the end of a game, that happens. And that's very similar to this, going, I'm better than you.
No, that's just tactical.
That was pretty good off the top of my head, though, right?
It's good. Pretty good. And it did. There was an IPL game the other day, though, wasn't there, where they refused to run. The guy who had to hit a six, he goes, no, I've got my eye in.
Sanju Sampson.
The chances of me hitting a six are greater than you hitting a four. I'll stand here.
Exactly.
Well, I'll take it under advisement. It may have flustered me briefly. But I don't think so, because you're being ordered to lose. I don't understand.
You train all your life to become a racing car driver and be the best, and then, you come second.
There's one in history. It was Mark Webber versus Sebastian Vettel, where Vettel was asked to stand down.
I got the audio.
And he refused. You got it?
Sebastian, multi-map 2-1. Multi-map 2-1. Come on, Sebastian, you need to give him the space. This is silly, sir. Come on.
Yep, that's for 2 minutes.
Okay, Mark, he was told. Sebastian.
I was really scared. All of a sudden he was moving, and I had to leave the line. To repeat, I had to get over the line. He just leaves the other side.
No, wow. No, I won't. He says.
I think we should introduce This Is Silly Mickey into your show from here on in.
Just quickly, we have to go AFLW, the grand final.
Congratulations to the girls of the Brisbane Lions. They won by 18 points, third time lucky for the girls. So they lost in 2017, 2018, but 2021 is their year. And just quickly, Mickey, apparently the Tokyo Olympics is going to be the hottest ever, and the Daily Telegraph is reporting 500 litres of Slurpees for the Aussie athletes. I'm not sure why specifically Slurpees. It doesn't sound the healthiest of options, but Slurpees all the way.
The track and field team should race in their Speedos. That's what I would do and go and jump in the pool.
A slippery dip.
Thank you, Naz. Look after yourself in Mumbai, and we'll speak to you soon.
And don't forget Ordinarily Speaking too. Oh, that's yes. The podcast. You had Zach Williams from GWS. Ashton Agar was on recently as well.
Who's on this
guest.
Week, Naz?
You'll wait and find out, Mickey.
Oh,
love you guys.
Wednesday. What? It'll drop. Nearly Meadows, it's Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
We're talking about great collaborations because we're a little disappointed in the Dave Grohl, Mick Jagger.
Oh, easy sleazy. Could have been something really special.
You mentioned Paul McCartney has form in this area of bad collaborations. But
I remember a couple of years ago. Yeah, it was a Meat Free Monday.
Meat Free Monday, it's a fun day.
A famous vegan, of course.
Sometimes not bad if rock stars go early.
Right.
If you know what I mean. You think that, like a little mythology about them
back
instead
in sort of the,
getting to the point where they release a song called Meat Free Monday. let's have a listen to some other great collaborations.
Yeah.
Nick's on the line. Nick, what's your favourite collaboration?
Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra.
I love this bit. They sing each other's song together on stage. The footage is amazing. Play it, Dave.
All right.
All my dreams fulfilled. Darling, I love you, and I always will.
It's such an ancient pitch. Why would you switch? 'Cause there's no nicer witch than witch.
Bang! You get the idea. Steve's on the line. Steve, what was the collaboration that you liked?
You can't go past it, Mick. It is Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood. Best things.
From Paint Your Wagon.
That's the one.
Let's have a listen.
Enough. That's buried below. Beautiful gold. There's seed in the ground. Lovable gold. Just waiting to grow. Spendable gold.
Two of the hardest men in Hollywood history.
Exactly.
In a movie called Paint Your Wagon, famous for the song I Was Born Under a Wandering Star by Lee Marvin, which is very good. That's on the nose. Steve, duke him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane for you, Steve.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Sid, of course, is on the line. Sid, her collaboration, please.
Brett Lee and Asher Bosley.
Oh, yeah.
They done a number about 10 years ago. Cringeworthy.
Yes. With blonde hair, though. There it is. Hey, duke him, Dave.
Case of Brick Lane for you as well, Sid.
Thanks,
well
man.
Done,
thanks
Sid.
Thanks
for calling, mate.
Thanks, Ricky.
That's the show for today. Kitty Flanagan's going to join us tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show podcast.